The 1895 podcast is brought to you by Off the Ball, official media partner of Shelburne FC. The 1895, the official Shelburne podcast, exclusive to Patreon.
Ball sinks in towards where Davy Rogers is up. Rogers sweeps the left. Oh, Davy Rogers! Oh, what a goal by Davy Rogers!
I'm angry, Tony, I have to be honest.
Murray! Martin Shelburne! Noel Murray! Has she won it for the Reds? What a goal!
Here's a chance up! Shane Farrell! And Chelsea 2-0!
I'm sorry, Tony, but I'm angry as well. I was angry before the game. I've been angry for a long time.
And she gets the winning goal here. Slattery! Oh. Into the back of the net! That is what champions do! That is what winners do! Pearl Slattery!
Over the top by Sullivan. Hughes! Goal! Shelburne lead!
His cross sticks the biggest!
Kildoffy is the substitute and he scored! Shell's lead!
We are in to the 94th minute
and yeah! It's an over! Shelburne FC are first division champions!
It's our just reward. We deserve this big time.
Here's your host, Stephen Doody.
Hello, welcome to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club. And as always, we're brought to you in association with our proud media partners, Off the Ball. No players this week. Sorry to disappoint you. It's been back-to-back player interviews. They've gone down very well. Well received. Unfortunately, this week, you're going to have to settle for one, Darren Cleary. Dazzler, what's the story?
Talk about a come down after two very, very good weeks. Not even Reggie here. Kind of a bit of a peripheral player. He calls himself a player. Plays a bit of hockey on the side, of course. But no, you're really scraping the bottom of the barrel. Anyone who saw me playing in the five-a-side for Pride will attest, definitely not a player.
You know what? I don't think I went into the details of that five-a-side for Pride. Did I? Maybe. Was it Mark Coyle maybe I might have spoken to about it? The staff team, of course, all the way to the final, beaten by a physical outfit, we'll call them. But a few humorous moments, Dazzler, involving a certain strength and conditioning coach. Do you want to enlighten the listeners?
I think you told that story on the Mark Coyle episode. I think you did.
Oh, see, my brain is spinning. Too many interviews, too many players, too much stuff going on.
I think you might have. It was a great occasion. You didn't tell the story about we were down some bodies and we roped in two people. Tony Sheridan, an icon, was one. He was amazing. He still just has it, scored a brilliant goal and shot every chance he had from the halfway line. And then we got this fella who was on trial at AC Milan called Filippo, who was not amazing.
No, and Cheryl's line was great. Trials at Milan. I think it must have been a pizza shop called Milan.
Which he said to Filippo. About Filippo.
While the game was going on, no less. But yeah, it was. It was a great occasion. Kind of, I suppose, brushed over it nearly and stuck with the Mauro story. So sorry for stinging Mauro with it. But it was a great occasion in Tolka. The rain, in general, stayed away. And yeah, a couple of first-team players were down to maybe suss out the staff and see how they performed. An injured Joey O'Brien drafted himself back onto the pitch when it started to get a bit physical, which I thought was funny. Well, I can assure everyone, Duffer still has it. Davy Mack still has it. Skins still has it. So, yeah, it was good viewing all around.
There was a bit of match fixing going on, though. I think Paul Nealon going around getting a load of ringers. He pretended they were all Steadfast United, but I've had on good authority that he just got a mate of his who's a football agent to put together a few people who could play. The entire goal was to win it. So he completely just wasn't about it. It was just a team of fucking ringers. It's like, you know, in Space Jam where the evil alien monsters are just, you know, genetically modified freaks. That's what Nealon did.
Well, Paul had no problem bringing the trophy into an empty bar. After the game, I think he was trying to parade the trophy around a little bit, but it was just me and Reggie, I think, in the bar. No, sorry, it was me and Ben. Me and Ben were in the bar, and He just kind of came in, I think, expecting a reaction. There was nobody in the bars, and we just turned around and left. But look, a great occasion. It was an enjoyable day. I also never mentioned this part, but I did manage to net a goal in Tolka with an assist from the other American that was playing on our team. So, good day all around. Good crack. It got very, very serious at times, which I found hilarious. Well, yeah, that's gone back a few weeks. It's been a long time, Dazzler, since we've had kind of a, I don't know, what would you call it, a supporter outlook on the pod, because it's generally been the player interviews. Obviously, we had Mark Coyle on first, and then we had Boydie last week. Can't believe I was nearly forgetting Boydie there for a minute. And you know what? You said it to me just there, off air, before we start recording. If any of the current first team squad are looking for new contracts, get yourselves onto the 1895 podcast, because it might work out well for you.
Yeah, your last two guests got new deals within a few days, so you definitely have a future duty in something. I don't know what it is, but you have a chance anyway.
Oh, certainly doesn't feel like it. What was your immediate reaction to the two signings? There was obviously a Boydie came first, didn't it? And I mean, there was a lot of, I think I breathed a sigh of relief really when I seen the news go out that he'd gotten his new contract. I was hoping he'd be next, and Duffer's gotten his business done nice and early.
Yeah, I think it's important, like, we to get Gavin Molloy done very early on. Conor Kearns were two big statements of intent. Obviously, you know, Boydie has missed so much football this year, like he's missed 4 months, but since he's come back, you do immediately notice the impact he's had. There was a game then he didn't start, and I remember you asking him, you know, was that a bit of sharpness? But he'd gone to see a specialist that week because he was still having a little bit of recurrence pain, I understand. So for him to have had such a positive contribution since he came back is massive, and it's great to tie it down, get that business done. I think the positive side of it is we're probably not using some of the football terminology like multi-year deals, but it is until a minimum of the end of next year, with the club having an option to further extend it should the club so desire. So, you know, you could see Sean Boyd on a 2-year contract, you could see Mark Coyle on a 2-year contract. So that's a positive place to be in, to not just plan for the present, but to look ahead to the future as well. And I think, you know, the manager spoke a lot in the last few weeks about not necessarily avoiding leadership, but that Luke does an awful lot of heavy lifting. Maybe some of the other leaders are a bit more quiet on the vocal side. So Boydie got the armband out in UCD and gave a very, very positive response. I think Mark Coyle as well is coming into that kind of leadership group. So it's important to, I guess, would you call it the spine of a team? You know, Gavin Molloy, Conor Kearns, Mark Coyle, Sean Boyd. It's they're really, really important players to get their future sorted.
Yeah, it's 100% the spine of the team. I mean, Gavin Molloy, for my money at the moment, is the best young player in the entire league. I thought it always in the back of my mind, and then Boydie came out and said it on the pod that he is the best young player. Like, he did. Boydie say the only other person that's kind of near
Sam
him is
Curtis.
Sam Curtis. So that probably speaks volumes of where Gavin Molloy is heading to. But like that, as you say, it's the spine of the team. They're big characters, good players. Like, Mark Coyle arguably has been our player of the season so far, and that's saying a lot considering he has been injured a bit himself. But what I do want to mention about Coyler was the video. TikTok is a funny place. TikTok, Basler, I don't mind saying this, TikTok I feel is a young man's game now.
It's definitely well above my age grade. I don't get it at all. It doesn't make any sense to me.
But what I do know of TikTok is there is a real niche for pro wrestling type stuff, and a certain member of the media team, are we going to name him? Ben Cleary came up with that brilliant video for Coyler's announcement video, and it was phenomenal. It's absolutely phenomenal. There's been a lot of good stuff there on the TikTok. We should mention it while we're on the subject. Most people would have seen the videos that have gone out from training with, you know, what music did you listen to on the way into training, your first pair of boots. That's down to Ben. And I know you don't mind saying, like, TikTok is probably not your forte. It certainly wouldn't be mine. But Ben has done amazing work on it so far. And we do have to mention, with the help of our, what will we call him, Dazzler? Our American loan signing for the year.
Yeah, the only decent loan signing we've got so far this year. Paddy Heck. Yeah, we've got a guy in from Temple University. I got a random email, and you know, it's a bit like one of these Nigerian princes emails. Congratulations, you've won an American intern. He's going to come with you for 12 weeks. And I remember texting Keith McDarby and saying, look, they want to send an intern over. He wants to work in the media and comms. He's interested in sport. Like, why not? We are desperately stuck for bodies. Like, the club needs all the help it can get. The internship company would sort flights, accommodation, the whole thing. All we had to do was you know, give him a bit of a look under the hood of Shelbourne Football Club. And he came in. His name is Paddy Heck. He's a brilliant lad. He's been involved with Ben and kind of some of the video stuff that they've done and trying to harness that young TikTok audience. But yeah, I suppose one of the things, dude, people probably don't look at it and see, oh, there's 10 lads there. What? They all can't be doing Twitter. Like, there's probably a few different elements of the media team. It's been great to have Paddy Heck in with us for the last few weeks. It's his last week. He's finished up at the end of this month. Last game will be Cork, then he's heading away. But he's been a brilliant loan signing. No offence to Harry Wood.
He has been a great loan signing. And look, speaking of signings, loan signings, Harry Wood obviously made his debut away to UCD. We didn't really get a chance to speak about that game because we had player interviews in the interim. But look, the UCD one, I'm not going to harp on about it too much. Played really well, got the job done, moved on to Friday, just gone. It ended up feeling like a loss. In hindsight, having watched the game back, not the full game, but watching it kind of on fast forward a little bit, I felt we were the better team for probably 65 minutes in the one-all draw against Bowes, and then they made changes, just got on top. Still 2 points dropped, really, isn't it?
It is. When you're in that position, they didn't really have very many chances. There was one. It was funny, the goal that James Talbot gave away, Conor Kearns had one of them in the first few minutes where, you know, he kind of came at it and flapped a wee bit, but there was no one there to punish him. And Talbot had the same one off Chad's shot, but Jack was there to punish him. It was an even game. I think we did enough to win it. I thought we were the better team. Like, we had, in that first half in particular, like, if it's ifs and buts, but if Boydie spots the run of Jad Akiki at the back post after Evan Caffrey plays him through, you know, that's 1-0. We'll have 2-0 from Jack, and it's good night, Irene. We're home and hosed. I think the frustrating element of it, it was such a good performance, and I think it's one of our better performances at home this season. Like, we haven't hit those heights when we beat Cork at home. We weren't as good as we were when we beat Drogheda at home. Probably Sligo at home as well. I don't think we played as well as we did the last day. So it's a bit frustrating on that element, especially when you're a goal up and you're into the last 10 minutes. But in that last 10 minutes, you'd have to say, if there was going to be a winner, maybe, you know, would it have been Bowes who looked more likely to do it? A draw probably is a fair result, even though on the balance of play for the majority of the game, we were the better team, I thought.
I'd totally agree with that. Just, you mentioned there, Conor Kearns had that hairy moment early on. He had a couple, and he won't mind me saying, I know, because he said it to me himself after the game, that just kind of had one of them starts where I think he dropped one, kind of fumbled one early, and then I'd say, you know, that crowd is behind you. He has previous with the Bowes crowd from his time where he nearly incited a riot at the Belfield Bowl, and then he just didn't quite look too sure of himself, and he actually made an interesting, came out with an interesting line that the worst thing you can do is just want to get to half time, because then you're putting yourself under pressure. It's like you're holding out. But having said that, yeah, and as kind of maybe unsure as he started the game, he popped up with a save in the second half. I don't remember what the score was, but it was a header at the back post for Bowes, and he got down low, knocked it out. That's why, and the manager will keep saying it, and I'm seeing stats coming out left, right and centre proving it, he has been the best goalkeeper in the league this year. I don't think there's another keeper coming close to him. Like, there always would have been a lot of talk around James Talbot being one of the best keepers. I mean, he's been all over the place. I don't know what's happened to him in the last little while, but he's been kind of all over the shop. Manus hasn't really been playing for Rovers. Like, Connor, for me, is definitely the best goalkeeper in the league.
Definitely. I think he probably got a bit of a knock as well, which, you know, if you're playing through a bit of an injury, you're naturally going to be on the back foot. We were 1-0 up, and it was himself and Gav Malloy at the back post, and I don't know how they kept it out. Like, it was a brilliant chance from Bowes. Like, I was gutted for Lukey because he did so well in the game to keep Afolabi quiet. I think he'd been scoring for fun for the last few weeks, and then the only time he'd lost his footing, he fell down contesting the header, and then the man got away from him. I thought he did really well, obviously the goal aside, but you won't point fingers because he'd done very well in general play before that. Like, it was one of those where I felt like we've had that feeling before where, you know, we were good, we should have won, but we didn't. And what's the difference? How do you make that jump? I think the big thing is the quality of what they brought off on the bench. Like, you look at the talent that they have coming into the game, and no disrespect to anyone we brought on, but they're just not at that stage in their career yet where they're proven League of Ireland quality. And maybe that is the difference between the two teams at the moment, in that we have a very, very strong, fully fit at the moment, maybe 12, 13 players, where Bowes probably have that bit more, you know?
Now look, when you're turning to Ali Coote to come off the bench for you, you know, like, that's... I mean, he's a starter, and probably, I would say, every team in the league. So when you have that to come off the bench, look, it is a difference maker. We've seen it in a few games this year where it gets to that kind of 70-minute mark. Other teams are able to make changes, and they're bringing on players that are nearly better than what's starting the game. And that has just been an issue for us. It's just, I think it's just a consequence, or it's a timing thing. It's just where we are at the moment in the journey, if you want to put it that way, that, like, the manager's still putting a stamp on the team. He's still, you know, players will go from being just a squad player to being a starter. Other people will go from always being a starter to being a squad player. That's just the way it is, but he's only in his second year. So I do genuinely think next year, the year after, we will be in that position where we can bring that kind of quality on and can change a game or can see out a game. You mentioned there the goal. It was interesting because I obviously did a post-match interview with Luke Byrne after the game, and he was very, very critical of himself for the goal. Like, straight away, he said, oh, we've had a look at it, and, you know, I had my own role to play in it. And I remember saying it to, I think it was Owen Smith maybe, that, and it might have actually been Conor Cairns as well, I said it to, I thought that Afolabi just did really, really well. He just kind of used his body, he kind of nudged Luke out of the way nearly, and Luke was off balance, and obviously hit the deck and then couldn't quite recover in time. But I thought it was just really good stuff from Afolabi rather than, you know, a terrible goal to give away. And Luke as well, it was funny, was very quick to, I pointed out, was it a change in shape issue? You know, had we kind of, was there a bit of a bedding in period? Because obviously Cameron came on and the shape changed. I alluded to maybe, does it take a couple of minutes, you know, to set into that new shape? And Luke was, no, definitely not. He said we had the right bodies in the right places. It was just one of them goals. It just always seems to be a goal that you can look back on and go, oh, that's a really smelly goal. It always just seems to be fine margins. A lot of the time it's been a set piece. Other times it's like that. Now, a good finish from Afolabi in the end, in all fairness to him, but it's like, oh, we probably could have prevented it. I think that makes it all the more frustrating when you look at the amount of points we've dropped over the course of the season so far.
Yeah, it definitely does. I think it's one of those where, like, there was an issue earlier on in the season around every time we conceded a corner, you thought, oh, geez, here we go, or a free kick from a threatening area. I think we've definitely improved on how we defend set pieces. Like, we don't give away a whole lot of goals from open play still. We've the best defensive record in the league. It's mad to think that we've given away goals that have materially impacted our league position at the moment, but yet we have the best defensive record in the league. It's when you try and reason those two things up, they don't really stand up together. It's a bit of a strange one. Like, it would probably be a bit lazy to say it was, you know, Luke Loss's man, that's how they scored. Cam probably needs to do better with the ball that comes in. He probably needs to cut it off at source. I was probably a bit guilty of a little bit of a lazy summary of it in the post-match. I said that, you know, the change in shape, they score not long after it. I don't think one is the consequence of the other. I think, you know, it's a consequence of Afolabi using his body, Lukey going down on the deck, and just no one covering while Lukey was trying to recover. So I don't think it's a shape issue in any way, shape or form. To be fair, even the manager said, no, we've actually have an extra man back there. But maybe that kind of flip back into that five gave Bowes a bit of the impetus. Maybe they smell a bit of blood of, all right, here we can pepper them. And it's not necessarily the change in shape, but maybe it's a mental thing of, you know, they think, oh well, they're changing shape now. They obviously are trying to deal with us. I don't know, Duty, am I spoofing completely here?
No, like my thing is, like, the way the goal panned out, there's kind of, like, you couldn't pin it. We could see it from set pieces this year, and you're going, oh my God, somebody just go and win a header, or somebody go and be aggressive. I think we managed to fix that because, like, on Friday, you've got Paddy Barrett, Luke, Boydy, Gav Malloy are all in the box. Like, straight away, you know, you're helping yourself there just because you have a bit of physicality in the box, which is brilliant. But it just feels like, on another, and I'm not saying we were unlucky to concede, I don't think you're ever unlucky to concede a goal, but on another day, we probably would have closed down the original ball in. I think it was Flores who clipped the first one in. On another day, we might have a body higher up the pitch that closes that one down. Then on another day, Luke just wins that first header. And on another day, Cam does get out a little bit quicker and stops the cross. Or on another day, Conor Cairns could pull out an absolute worldie of a save, as he has done a few times this year. But it's like four things went wrong all in one, or three things went wrong all in one, and then it ends up being a goal. It's just like, I don't know whether that's an easier goal to concede than a smelly one from a set piece, or whether it's worse, I don't know. But the other part of it was, we did kind of end up just not clinging on at the end, but that doesn't bother me so much because that's just football. Like, they had all the impetus, they had the momentum. The crowd had finally piped up at that stage, would have been giving them a bit of a push. So look, over 90 minutes, we were definitely the better team, but it's them moments, like, where, you know, like when Afolabi comes up with a bit of quality, and, like, as you mentioned, we did miss a couple of chances to maybe double the lead, or even before we scored, we missed chances. So, frustrating night, but just very important we didn't lose the game in the end. I know that might be a bit of a, not a loser attitude, but, like, it does help that the gap is no bigger now to them, so they're still within touching distance.
Another big momentum swing, I thought, was Jad and Jack going off, because Jack, I think it was his best game for the Reds since Sligo away. He's kind of huffed and puffed in the last few weeks. He hadn't got a goal before UCD over, you know, six or seven games. Was playing, but nothing was really falling from or landing from. I thought he was brilliant the other day. I thought he was just a complete handful. I thought he was direct. I thought he was strong. I thought he was eager to shoot. Like, he had a brilliant chance where he just turns his man inside out and absolutely rifles a shot. Now, it's just over the crossbar. But I do think that there probably was an element of, you know, maybe James Talbot's confidence isn't where it had been in recent years. Maybe he's carrying an injury. You never know. Have a go and see what happens. You know, you might benefit if something's parried. I thought Jack was brilliant. I thought Jad as well was just causing Keith Buckley all sorts of problems. He just, every time he got the ball, he just ran at him and ran at him. And it was, Jad's probably one of these where can be, you can see the ability he has, you can see the technical quality, but it's that final ball, that ability to know not to take too much out of it and when to hit the underlap or when to throw in the cross or when to just, you know, release it instead of running into a brick wall with it. But I thought Jad going off, Jack going off then probably gives them that little bit of a, all right, they're gone. Let's see how we can get on here.
Yeah, and it's that whole thing of, I don't feel like we were shutting up shop by making the changes, but it definitely made us a bit more conservative, and you have extra bodies back, which is fine, because if you don't do that and they go and score, everyone's going to say, oh, we should have, you know, closed out the game, we should have just seen it out and took our 1-0. So, as you say, it's just fine margins like that. Another player I want to mention, and it's not just because I got my new contract, Boydie was brilliant on Friday. So good. Just because he didn't score or didn't get an assist doesn't lessen his performance. The amount of little balls he was dropping off at one touch, and like, he had no problem getting into wrestling matches with the two centre backs, and he was holding the ball up, winning little fouls, and he was just so good. He's a really good platform for everyone else to play off, I find. And can I just shock you with something?
You're going to compliment Neil Doyle.
I am going to compliment Neil Doyle.
Because I was thinking when you're saying that, I think I'm going to say something nice about Neil Doyle here.
Yeah, no, 100%. I'm not as anti-referee as some people are, but I thought he was great. He let a couple, there was a tackle with Mark Coyle and possibly Adam McDonnell maybe in the first half, and they lurried into each other, and it could have definitely been a foul either way. It's one of them ones where usually the ref will blow the whistle and go steaming in, you know, trying to split them up. He just let go, and it was like, yeah, no problem. There was another one down in front of the riverside. There was one over in front of the dugout. I thought he refereed the game really well and just let it play. He let tackles go in. He was letting people kind of mount at each other. Like, Conor Cairns had a pop off somebody after just a few minutes in front of the balls crowd. Like, refs can easily go flashing yellows for that. I don't think he did, as far as I remember. Like, there was only one yellow in the whole game.
Yeah, Adam McDonald, and it wasn't even for his little clash with Conor Cairns.
Yeah, exactly. So, look, it's not given out very often, but credit where credit's due. I thought he refereed the game really well. And, like, it is one of them. It might be another one of the ones, like I spoke to Mark Coyle about it. It could be a game that you look back on at the end of the season and go, you know, if we had won that game, where might we have ended up? But there's been plenty of games like that this season that you could go back to. So I feel it could be one of those ones that ends up on that list. But look, we'll get to the cup now in a second. But just on our league form and position, how do you see it panning out? How are we fixed now? Are we going to push on? Are we going to just kind of stay where we are? And that'll be part of the building process. Where do you see it going?
We've only lost one of our last six. The Pats game is the only one we've lost over there. Like, we've picked up good results. Obviously, the draw against Sligo at home was a bit frustrating, and we had such a good start in that game. Obviously, Matty Smith goes off injured. And it's funny, like, Matty's such an important player, and we haven't really talked about how big a loss he is. Shane Griffin's been such an important player, and we haven't really talked about how big a loss he is. But the manager would be well within his rights to sit around and kind of curse his luck to not have them available with a relatively small squad, but he hasn't. Like, I think our results have been decent, if not spectacular. Like, everywhere you think we should be picking up 3 points this year, with the exception of maybe UCD over there, maybe Sligo at home, we've done well. Like, we've done really, really well. We've a decent record against Drogheda. They've been a pain in the hole for everyone they've played this year. Mainly Rovers, we've beaten them. We drew with them up there, and we drew with them in Talca. Like, I think our form is decent. I think we do need a few bodies, reinforcements. I think it was probably good that Harry Wood came on and maybe didn't get up to speed with the game. It might take a little bit of complacency out of him if he has it. Like, I think Irish lads coming back into the league from England is a different mindset, I would think. I think they kind of know enough to respect how difficult it can be to adapt. Most of the time, maybe one or two exceptions, the rapper Glenn McCauley, one that comes to mind famously. But I think English lads coming over here maybe don't know what they're getting themselves in for, or maybe don't realise how good they have to be to impact games. And it probably wasn't a good reflection of the league for Harry Wood to come on when we're 3 or 4-0 up against UCD, you know, a few little nice touches here and there and look like a player. And then he comes on the last day, a team, two teams, proper men, frenetic Dublin derby, nothing in it, and finds it hard to impose himself. Like, you wouldn't want to make a snap judgment either way based on the cameo you saw against UCD or the cameo you saw against against Bowes, but I think there's a, it looks like there might be a player there. I don't think you're at all, like, it's only a loan deal. I don't think you make it to there for a few years if there's not something about you. But I think with boys like that, it's probably mindset, it's probably mentality, and it's something the manager hammers home every week. Like, he wants that elite mentality. You know, when he says you can't just turn up at games, he means it, because I think maybe that's why we've had difficult outings against UCD. Where we go from here, I think we've a run where, you know, could you see us taking 6 points from our next two after the cup? I definitely could. Cork away and Dundalk away, they're tricky games, but Dundalk coming off the back of Europe, we might catch them cold. Cork obviously have improved their results since their change of manager, but, you know, they've had a really rough run of games. Obviously there's been two decent draws in there against Pats and Drogheda, but they've lost to Derry, they've lost to Sligo, well beaten by Sligo on Saturday. So I think over the next few weeks, I think we'll climb the table. I think we'll beat Bowes in the cup, and I think that'll give us a springboard in to do really well. Some people are worried, Doody, about signings. Don't forget.
You know, it's funny, I was going to ask you about that while we were talking about Harry Wood there. Go on, sorry.
But don't forget, Matty Smith signed at 9 o'clock on the deadline. So, you know, don't worry if you don't have the game-changing player in on the 18th of July, because it doesn't mean they're not coming.
That's fair. When does the window close?
31st for 31st for professional players.
Loves
July.
And on that, look, the whole signings thing, you could really go around in circles. I know, like, a lot of my mates wouldn't be League of Ireland people, but they're following Shells closely now because of, you know, the new owner, and, you know, it's kind of probably been in the headlines a bit more than normal. And when the two boys signed, that's Harry Fisk and Harry Wood signed, of course, all the lads are on to me going, oh, here we go, like, it starts. Like, I want to stress this, we don't have any kind of, like, inside line to what's going on. Like, we're on this just purely as two supporters just chatting about the Reds. There's no way can I see Damien Duff just, you know, taking on a player because he's told to take on a player. Like, that, I just cannot see it. And I know there's a lot of kind of waffle around that and all the rest of it. We are only going to sign players who are good for the group, I would imagine. And that's why I would rather, as you said, the Matty Smith thing went through at the very last minute. And look what Matty's done since that for the club. So I would rather wait and get the right type of bodies than, you know, just go and sign any kind of League of Ireland head that's around that you think might be able to do something. I'd much rather wait, be sure of what you're getting, and, you know, because you're not just signing a player to try and get us into Europe. You have to think ahead of that. You have to think of next year or the year after. Where is that player going to fit in down the line? So, like, with signings, as you say, patience is very, very important with it. Like, you don't want to be rushing into anything. Then you get stuck with a player. And we've seen that happen before. So just relax. Just trust the process. We're in capable hands, and we'll get there. That's my take on the transfers.
You're also probably off, like, operating at a wee disadvantage now because people assume you have loads of money. So,
yeah, of course.
The wages a player might have been asking for in January are very different now in May, because he thinks there's Turkish lira coming out of our ears. It's a weird one. Like, I couldn't understand the little bit of a frenzy that was whipped up last week by Keith Tracy on the RT pod and a few others around, oh, this is a a worrying sign, you know, who's pulling the strings. The manager was fairly unequivocal then when he was asked about it by Dan McDonald on Friday. Unsurprisingly, the truth never makes it quite as far as the rumor. I way less people shared that than shared the kind of speculation and innuendo, but he kind of put it to bed and said, we'll obviously utilize what's at our resource at our disposal. Like, Hull would have data sets on players. They'd have be tracking players in the UK and different leagues that we wouldn't have that info to hand on. So it's a benefit, but no one's coming unless we want them to come, unless they can add something to the group. And he made a really good point on the Thursday team news. I don't know if anyone actually reads the Thursday team news bulletins, but they go out to the press and they're on the website every Thursday. But he said it's not about just getting lads with ability, it's the right mix of people. And over the last 18 months there have been players with real ability at the club that haven't stayed at the club because the mindset and how they contribute to the overall group hasn't been what it needs to be. And I thought that was probably a little bit illuminating as well. You know, it's not as easy as just signing a load of big names. Bo said that last year, Duty, and it blew up in their face.
Yeah, I mean, sure, we've been on the wrong end of that as a club. Yeah, where signed all these bodies in 2020 and like they're all shite bags in the end. And like, it was going well for a while, and as soon as we came up against any obstacle, forget it. Nobody cared. Well, I won't say nobody cared. That's not fair.
Four people cared.
Yeah, and that's just not enough. Whereas the way it is now, and as you mentioned, like, you're only going to be in that group if you're the right type of person to be in that group. If the shit hit the fan in the next couple of weeks and we lost three on the bounce, we'll be fine because they're good buddies. They'll get together, they'll pull their socks up, and they'll get through it. Whereas we've been burned by that before, where you have all these shitebag mercenaries that don't really care. It doesn't really mean anything to them. Like, don't tell me it doesn't mean anything to Mark Hoyle. He gave up a very, very good full-time job, like, very, very close to his home, to move to Dublin to have a crack at this, and he's loving it and enjoying it. Don't tell me it doesn't mean a lot to him. Like, Boydie was quite open in saying that, like, he's found a home now that he didn't have for a long, long time in football, because he was looked at as, I don't know, he's injury prone. You know, you want to dodge him. Like, an ex-Shelburne manager dodged him because he didn't think he was going to be fit enough to play. And now, as Boydie said, he's found a home for himself in Tolke. So, like, you can't upset that mentality in a group by just signing anyone that's handed to you. And that's why it won't happen, because the manager is just not going to allow it happen. He's too far invested in it now to let it go belly up. I know that was a bit of a rant, but I was seeing visions of Dan Byrne there for a minute and just got a bit annoyed. But that's probably actually not a bad segue into Friday. Your most hated competition, the FAI Cup.
FAI Cup. I'm going to shock you. I like the Cup. I enjoy the Cup. I'm going to do an Alan Partridge U-turn on the Cup. You ever see Alan Partridge where he's giving out about wine and people are all into wine? Your man said, I'd like to make a show about wine. And he's like, shit, I want to do a show. I actually like wine. I probably would have felt that the Cup was a bit cursed. I don't think it's cursed anymore. Although if you were in the Cup is Cursed camp.
We've had this.
If you were in the Cup is Cursed camp, a record defeat in a Cup final would probably be a Cup is Cursed piece of evidence. You know,
it's a multiplier. If you're in that camp of the Cup is cursed, how could losing 4-0 in the final not make it more cursed?
But also,
I don't believe it's cursed, just for the record. But
I do not believe the Cup is cursed after that amazing day in August last year at Tolke. Whatever, was it August or September?
I have no idea. I was in a t-shirt, so it was probably August.
It was amazing. What a day. I'm excited for the game. Like, I take it absolutely on face value when the manager said he got the text, he was really excited for the game, because I think if you can go through a few rounds cold playing a Bonagie or an Usher Celtic or, you know, a Athlone Town, you come to a decent side and you can get a bit of a shock to the system, where yeah, this is it. This is a massive opportunity to lay down a marker. Bows away from home. We have a very, very good record against them, Doody. I hate to say it. Last five competitive games that matter, league and cup. What, 2 wins, 3 draws?
Oh, shut up, for the love of God.
No, but what I mean is, in years gone by, you'd go to Daly Mount with massive trepidation and a bit of fear.
Of course,
and,
yeah. That's a mentality thing, I think, now. Like that inferiority thing is gone now. I think, anyway. I don't know. Is that a bit premature, maybe?
We're behind them, right? As a club. I'm not necessarily the football stakes, but as a club, they've done really, really good stuff in the last few years. They deserve an awful lot of credit. But I think on the football side, it's closer than it has been in 20 years. The other side, you know, you'd hope you'd catch up. It's not easily done, but the right moves are being made. I'm sure we'll mention Tony O'Neill's appointment at some stage. But yeah, on a football basis, I think it's closer than it has been for a very long time.
Yeah, we may actually just touch on it while we're at it. I don't think we've actually mentioned Tony on here yet and his appointment as the... Give him his official title, Dazzler, because I don't want to lessen it.
Community engagement officer. He'd work very closely with John McGowan. Obviously, John's a quiet fella, so people mightn't realise how much work he puts in, but... Like, John is just, I know you touched on it before, Doody, in one of the interviews you did. John is just tireless. Like, he was texting me today. They had 70 people down at Talca. The Liverpool Foundation were in town. They were doing a big session. The Liverpool Foundation obviously part funded the role that Tony's in at the moment. They had Drumcondra, Mid-Sutton, Hoth Celtic, Lusk United, River Valley Rangers, Colester Donnycarney, and our own academy down there, 80 kids, a whole heap of coaches, and it was all about getting people hopefully into the ground, getting them involved in Shells, and if they like it, maybe they'll come back. So John does some tireless work. He's going to work very closely with Tony. Tony comes in with a brilliant reputation, having been a vital cog in Rovers' expansion in Tala and South County Dublin in the last few years. The league attendances are up across the board, but Rovers are a whole different ball game. Like, the numbers they have is frightening. Like, the Rovers have more season tickets sold than probably the likes of Drogheda, Dundalk, and a few others combined. Like, it's brilliant, and their kind of rise in growing their audiences was aligned very closely with a well-structured community engagement program, getting into schools, getting into clubs, and that was led by Tony. He's at Shells now, and I just think he's a very, very clever, shrewd, strategic thinking guy, and I think he'll be a massive, massive asset to the club.
Yeah, I can probably speak highly on Tony because I've actually dealt with him in the past in schoolboy football, so Tony is around a long, long, long time. He won't thank me for the three longs in there, but he's been around schoolboy football so long. He knows a lot of people. He knows a lot of clubs. He's experienced. He has a really good manner. Like, he's a very easy chap to talk to. So a really, really, really good appointment for me. It's a step in the right direction. People will argue, oh, it's taking this long. Doesn't matter. We've done it now. We are most definitely going in the right direction, away from a Friday night and a Saturday afternoon. And just speaking of away from maybe the two first teams, there was another appointment announced today. Aaron Rowe has come into a full-time role in the club. Do you want to just give us a little outline on that one?
Yeah, look, it's a positive appointment, I guess, to have more full-time staff in the football club. I don't really know if people can quite understand how thin resources are on the ground. Like, paid staff wise, what, 4 people? You know, it's Keith McDarby, it's Barry Mock, Niall Fitz, and Aaron Rowe will be involved now. Collie Barron is involved too on the academy side. He's going to work as a transition phase coach, so guiding people from kind of underage football to 11 aside. And an administrator too. So there's been massive work done at the academy, foundations laid by a load of brilliant people, men's and women's. Like Ken Kearns done brilliant work. Obviously Luke Byrne when he was there, Damien Duff. It'd be remiss not to mention Stephen and Dave Henderson, because you know, a lot of the players that you're seeing now coming through to the first team would have been brought into the club by David and Steve when they were here. So, it's a positive development. It's good to see more full-time resources there. Hopefully it's the first of many, because realistically I do think we're still light on the ground compared to other clubs. Like Pats have a full-time marketing person, as do Dundalk, as do Rovers, as do Derry. Bows have a full-time COO. I think they have a part-time person involved in marketing as well. So we're light on the ground compared to other clubs. And I think it's probably, if we do want to close that gap, getting the community right, getting the presence of the club and the local community more visible is really important. And then getting someone in to take over marketing. Brian McGovern, for anyone who doesn't know, is one of the shareholders. He's done an amazing amount of work with this. He's kind of put together a marketing strategy, and there is hopes to hire someone. So it's a very, very positive path the club is on off the pitch, which probably people are very concerned with what happens on a Saturday and what happens on a Friday, and maybe aren't as paying close attention to what's happening around the rest of the club. But it does seem to be in a very good place.
Definitely going in the right direction. Before I ask you for a prediction on Friday, Dazlar, I know you've some club business you need to attend to shortly, so I'm not going to hold you for too much longer, but just everyone in the club, just we all want to send our, I suppose, message of support to the women's national team. They have their first fixture in the World Cup on Thursday. It's a huge occasion. Qualifying for a World Cup at any level is an unbelievable achievement for a country the size of ours. Some of us have been lucky that we've got to see the men's senior team in a World Cup in our lifetime. Having a women's team there, it's probably a great sign of the growth. And that was a brilliant photo went around of the girls wearing, first of all, their League of Ireland club they came from, wearing their gear, and then the first schoolboy, schoolgirl club they ever started with. So good luck to them all. Hopefully it works out.
There's a big ex-Red contingent, as you mentioned. There's the six of them, including the additional training player. Kev Doyle's actually done a bit of a write-up on it, so that's going to be on the Shells website before it kicks off. A little bit of background on the ex-Reds there. It's a brilliant occasion. Like, you see some of the colour around the place. Obviously, Abby plays for Shamrock Rovers now, but double winner with the Reds, Ringsend native. I think everyone at the club just wishes her very, very well, and her teammates as well. Like, it's a huge occasion for the country, and it's going to be, I would think, something that will inspire many a generation of people. Like, there's, I would wonder how many people there are around Ireland who played at an okay level or followed their ambitions and their dreams by watching the likes of Robbie Keane and Damien and Shay Given and all these people. So it's an unbelievable opportunity to as a country to just put on our best foot forward, you know.
100%. That's our prediction for Friday.
Oh, I think the Reds will win. I think it'll be very, very cagey. I think it'll probably be decided by a goal. I did enjoy Declan Devine's attempts to win them a penalty by saying that the treatment Johnny Afolabi gets is terrible and no other big man would have to deal with it.
Has he never seen Sean Boyd play?
Yeah, obviously not, because Boyd, he doesn't get anything. But yeah, I think it'll be a tight game settled by a goal. I think the Reds will be on the right side of it. We have 450 tickets. It's probably the smallest away allocation we get in the league. It's obviously due to it being in the mono stand. They can't cater for any more. Previously, fans would have been in the Des Kelly stand, but that's changed now. So unfortunately, more than half the season ticket holders will miss out, which is really, really disappointing. It's an awful shame. But if you are not lucky enough to be there, Talca Park will be rocking, bars open from 7, drinks promos, game on the big screen. If you can't get a ticket, head on down. It'll be a good game, I think.
That it will. Dazlar, you're going off now to get that ticket link organised, so I won't keep you anymore. Enjoy the rest of your evening, and I hope it's stress free.
Yeah, remind Niall to send it. That's the goal now. Duty, give us your prediction. You're not getting away without.
I'm going 2-0 for the Reds.
2-0 for the Reds?
Yeah, I think we'll obviously go 1-0 up, and I think we'll be maybe backs against the wall, and then I hope for a Reds counter attack and pandemonium after that.
Duty, we've gone a whole podcast there talking about Jack Moylan's future, which definitely will make it look like that there's no comment to make on Jack Moylan's future.
Yeah, look, can I just say, I don't know. So, like, it's a very strange experience where for some reason people think you know everything. I know absolutely nothing. All I know about Jack Moylan is that he wears an awful lot of half-zip tops, and he's not as good a golfer as maybe he has made out previously. That's all I know about Jack Moylan. I don't know whether he's leaving or staying. I haven't a clue. I hope to good God he's staying, but I don't know. I really don't know.
Don't believe everything you read on the internet. Everyone on the internet told me Jack Moylan's last game was last Friday, and that would be it. He'd be leaving after that. That was Hardy helping a bollocks, and everyone on the internet was saying the week before that Shells fans should be frightened. There's some mysterious transfer guru signing loads of players, and again, I think the manager fairly put paid to that and poo-pooed and rubbished that idea. So don't believe the internet. Sometimes people are just trying to get a few likes and a few retweets.
We will leave it at that. See you on Friday, Dazzler. Up the Reds.
Up the Reds.
This podcast was brought to you by Off the Ball, official media partner of Shelburne FC. For all the latest sports news, visit otbsports.com. Rest held in the sunset, way out on the sea. Oh, carry my loved one.